Whether it's snacking in the middle of the night or having a cigarette with our morning coffee, we all have routines that we follow day after day, even if they're habits we never consciously meant to embrace. But with little effort, it isn't too difficult to make or break a habit, right? Well, maybe not. After all, how many New Year's resolutions have you actually stuck to? Jeremy Dean explores all of this in his new book, Making Habits, Breaking Habits, Why We Do Things, Why We Don't, and How to Make Any Change Stick. The new book is out from DaCapo, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jeremy Dean to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Looking at this issue of habits, as a psychologist, you're a psychologist and creator of Cyblog, which is a website that analyzes psychological studies. What is it about habits that caught your fancy?
I wrote a post on my blog about 3 years ago about it. And it was a pretty simple question. How long does it take to form a habit? The answer that Google came up with when I Googled it was about 21 days. But I am a research psychologist, so I wanted to see, you know, where the research was on this. And it turned out there wasn't any real research on this. This 21 days wasn't based on any real psychological research. But some psychological research has been done on it, and this has found that there's kind of a huge variation in how long it takes to form habits. And that the post I put on my blog had a huge response. Obviously, it's something that really captures people's imagination.
And without cutting to the chase too much, the it seems to me that the rule of thumb is that it takes a lot longer to break the habit than it does to start it.
So difficult to break habits. So difficult. And they lie dormant as well. You know, even once you've managed to change them, they can still lie dormant and they're ready to activate. So the key is when you're trying to break a habit is to try and change it to something else. Suppression, it seems, doesn't work. That's what the research tells us. You know, you're trying to stop thinking about cake. It doesn't seem to work. But if you replace the cake with a nice healthy apple, that seems to be the way to go.
It should be said, I think, and you make this point in the book, that the word habit isn't necessarily a dirty word.
So many of our habits are wonderful. I would say the vast majority of them, things like looking both ways before you cross the road and putting on a seatbelt. And also, you know, there's so many habits we have, like mathematics, for example. You learn your times table and things like that, and then you can build all kinds of things on top of that. So, yeah, most of our habits are fantastic. But it's rooting out those ones that we want to change. That's the key.
What is it about the healthy habit forming that makes it so difficult? When we talk about eating and exercise, those specifically are difficult to make those habits and ultimately to break the bad habits?
They do seem to be so difficult to change. And I think it's partly because habits work mostly unconsciously. In other words, we do the same things in the same situations, and we choose to do those things kind of unconsciously. So we don't consciously think, right, now I'm going to, you know, eat this unhealthy thing. It just sort of happens, and we get into the habit of it. And so change is difficult because, first of all, we have to notice that we're performing this bad habit in the first place. So, and that can be difficult when, by definition, it's unconscious.
The act of conscious and unconscious. And you talk in the book about when you're trying to create a positive new habit that it is so important to have repetition, to repeat.
Exactly. Because habits build up by the same action in the same situation, effectively what you can do is you can use that to build your new good habits. And each time you repeat it, it gets a little bit stronger. And by stronger, I mean that it's more likely to be performed automatically. So you won't have to decide. You won't have to. It won't be an act of will, for example, to eat that apple or, you know, go to the gym. It'll just be something that's part of your routine.
So how conscious is that of saying, okay, I need to repeat this?
It starts off as being really conscious. So one thing you can do is to start off a new habit is create this link between a situation and an action yourself. So you can say, for example, if I feel hungry between meals, then I will eat an apple. So you're creating that link between the action and the situation there. And then as you repeat it, it becomes like all your other habits. You start to do it automatically. And that's the beauty of them.
The flip side is breaking that habit. And where the opposite is true, because, I mean, the old adage being, if someone says, don't think of a pink elephant, the first thing you're going to think of is a pink elephant. So if you think, I don't want to smoke, or I don't want to drink, or I don't want to eat that, the first thing you think of is doing that exact thing.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we find in the research, is that, you know, you try to suppress these bad habits, and they come back stronger. There's some evidence to suggest that, you know, people are trying to diet actually end up binge eating. And you try to push these ideas out of your mind, they come back. So the key is the replacement. So it's trying to replace the bad habit with something positive.
Back to the conscious and unconscious, but for habits to form, it is easier, and it is easy for them to form unconsciously. That clicks in pretty quick.
It does, yeah. And most of the time, our habits follow our intentions. In other words, we do what we intend to do for the vast majority of the time. So it's this working out which habits are, you know, doing good things for us and which are not. That's really the difficult question.
What is it about this time of year specifically where we start thinking about this stuff? I mean, I guess, is it just a new calendar, a clean slate?
It's kind of like a societal habit, isn't it, really, that we've got to have, you know, we've got to have New Year's resolutions at this time of year. And in some ways, it's kind of a bad thing, because it's sort of saying, look, you've got this time of year to transform yourself, and then forget about it for the rest of the year. And I would say the reverse. Make a New Year's resolution, but choose something really small that you can do, and then maybe if it say takes a month to ingrain your new habit, then have another go in February, and it should be a kind of ongoing, continuous thing rather than a one-off transformation, which is likely to get derailed and leave you feeling that it was a bit of a waste of time in the first place.
Well, they always strike me as being somewhat vague of I want to be a better person in 2013, and
yeah,
knowing what that means.
Well, this is the sort of classic mistake, really, that people make, which is to make these quite vague New Year's resolutions. And what we find in the research is that you're much better off with these specific resolutions. You want to try and break it. It's fine to have these kind of overarching goals that you're going for, but what actually works in reality much better is a very specific situation. So you might say, for example, I'm going to be a better person in 2013, you might say, when my partner gets home from work, I'm going to make them their favorite meal, for example.
And what makes us a better person, right? You have to figure that out too.
Absolutely. And what might make one person a better person doesn't necessarily make another person a better person. So all these things are very individual, and habits require tweaking as well. I think it's kind of an ongoing process of tweaking them and seeing what the effect is. And it'll absolutely depend on your personality and your circumstances as well.
You do talk in the book about making the positive aspects of your new good habit and the negative aspects of your bad habit as vivid and concrete as possible.
Motivation is one of the things that you've got to pump up as much as you can. And this is one of the techniques you can use. It's absolutely about making it as strong as you can in your mind. And another technique which is related is mental contrasting, which is thinking about the pros first of all, which people find relatively easy, to think about the good things that they're going to get out of their habit, but then also thinking about the barriers the things that are going to stop you. And it's kind of planning for those barriers. You know, what's going to stop you going out for a run, and what's going to stop you changing the things that you eat and things like that. So it's kind of contrasting those two as well, which is really important. And studies suggest that when people do that, then they're more likely to actually not bother with goals that they think they can't manage, and it will give them more motivation for goals they think they expect to do.
When it comes to motivation, how important is affirmation in the sense of that what we're doing is right and good? Is that a lot of that on us, or having a good support team around us who notices and sees what we're trying to do and kind of helps us along the way?
I think it'll depend on who you are and, you know, who's around you. For some people, I think that works really well to sort of get other people around them, help them out. But for other people, it's maybe more of an individual pursuit, and really it's whatever works for you.
When you talk about trying to change and you are trying to break a habit, you talk about in the book of changing your environment, how new situations force us to think consciously, again, that word consciously, about what we do.
Well, the classic example is going on holiday. You go on holiday and suddenly you're away from all your regular cues and things that cue up your habits. So you have to think consciously and you have to look around and you have to work out where you're going to have a cup of coffee and where you're going to eat and, you know, what you're going to do in the evening. And suddenly everything is brighter and more vivid because you're concentrating so much on it. But at the same time, it's also exhausting because you've got to think all the time about what you're going to do. And sometimes, you know, when you get back home, you feel more relaxed because everything's there and, you know, you're back in your old grooves again. So it's really sort of two sides of it there. You know, you've got the excitement of new things, and then you've got the other side that the brain's got to work harder to make all these decisions.
At what point do you know that you've been successful? And in the sense of, can you look at it that way? If you have quit smoking for 10 years and then all of a sudden something tragic in your family happens and you light up, do you look and say, okay, well, I wasn't successful in breaking that habit? Or do you have to look at it as, I was successful for 10 years and now I have to do it once again?
I think that it's good to be a little easy on yourself. I think self-compassion is a good thing. And there are actually studies to suggest that going easy on yourself is good. And if you manage to give up smoking once, then it's showing that you can do it again. And, you know, unfortunately, these habits do tend to sit in the background. They sit in the back of our minds and they never die. So, you know, old habit, as the old saying goes, old habits die hard. It's sitting there waiting to go. So, you know, the fact that you light up again is you know, something you have to watch out for. But, yeah, you do have to begin again, I guess.
It's a fascinating book. It is called Making Habits, Breaking Habits, Why We Do Things and Why We Don't, and How to Make Any Change Stick. It is published by DeCapo. Jeremy Dean, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing with us during this new year. I appreciate you being aboard.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Making Habits, Breaking Habits, published by DeCapo. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.